Welcome to SCOTUSCast. The right to keep and bear arms applies to the States Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On June 28, 2010, the Supreme Court announced its decision in McDonald v. Chicago. The question in this case was whether the Due Process Clause, or the Privileges or Immunities Clause, of the 14th Amendment makes the right to keep and bear arms applicable to the states. In an opinion delivered by Justice Alito, the court held 5-4, that the 14th Amendment makes the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms for the purpose of self-defense, which the court recognized in District of Columbia v. Heller, applicable to the states. Four justices based this ruling on the 14th Amendment's Due Process Clause. Justice Thomas agreed with the holding, but based his opinion on the 14th Amendment's Privileges or Immunities Clause. To discuss the case, we have Northwestern University School of Law Professor Stephen G. Calabresi. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Professor Calabresi.
McDonald against City of Chicago involved the issue of whether the Second Amendment to the Constitution, which protects an individual's right to keep and bear arms, applies against state laws and municipal ordinances authorized by the states that infringe Second Amendment gun rights. The Supreme Court, in a 5-4 opinion, held that the Second Amendment, which protects an individual right to keep and bear arms, is incorporated by the 14th Amendment to apply against states and municipalities. The case was eagerly awaited because the Supreme Court 2 years ago, for the first time, ruled that the Second Amendment protects an individual right to keep and bear arms from the federal government. And so there was great interest in whether the Second Amendment, therefore, would also apply against state and local governments, many of which have laws which regulate firearms. The case produced a number of major opinions, several of them quite lengthy and quite thorough. The lead opinion was by Justice Samuel Alito, and Justice Alito's opinion was joined by Chief Justice Roberts, by Justice Scalia, and by Justice Kennedy, and in significant part by Justice Thomas. Justice Alito first addresses the issue of whether the Second Amendment, which protects an individual's right to keep and bear arms, applies against states and municipalities as vigorously as it applies against the federal government. This is a very important question because the issue of whether the 14th Amendment incorporates the Bill of Rights and applies it against the states has not been addressed in the Supreme Court for more than 40 years. McDonald against City of Chicago is the first incorporation case since the 1960s, and the court does end up concluding that the Second Amendment individual right to keep and bear arms is incorporated into the 14th Amendment, and that it applies as vigorously against states and municipalities as it does against the federal government. The case is tremendously important, therefore, first of all, for advocates of Second Amendment rights. The case vigorously and fully defends and protects Second Amendment rights. It is important because it will lead to a large number of legal challenges to various state and municipal firearms regulations, which will then have to be evaluated in court to determine whether or not they're consistent with the Second Amendment as interpreted in McDonald against City of Chicago. So Justice Alito's primary opinion in the case is very important as a victory for Second Amendment rights. It's also very important as a statement about incorporation and that the 14th Amendment incorporates the Second Amendment as well as other parts of the Bill of Rights to apply fully against the states. Another aspect of Justice Alito's primary opinion for the court is that is tremendously important is that Justice Alito's opinion in describing what constitutional rights are judicially enforceable under the 14th Amendment against the states, Justice Alito emphasizes that only rights that are deeply rooted in history and tradition are incorporated against the states. And that test of whether a right is deeply rooted in history and tradition is one that was first articulated by Justice Antonin Scalia almost 20 years ago in a case called Michael H. against Gerald D. And it's a test which commanded a majority of the Supreme Court in Washington against Glucksberg in 1997, which was a case that denied that there was a right to commit assisted suicide. To date, prior to the McDonald case, neither Chief Justice Roberts nor Justice Alito had expressed a view on how rights become protected as a matter of substantive due process or what test to apply in substantive due process cases. In McDonald against City of Chicago, Justice Alito endorsed the Scalia-Rehnquist deeply rooted in history and tradition test, and Justice Roberts joined that opinion. So it is thus clear that Chief Justice Roberts and Justice Alito, along with Justice Scalia and Justice Thomas, all endorsed the view that the only rights the 14th Amendment protects are those that are deeply rooted in history and tradition. Justice Alito's opinion is significant because Justice Anthony Kennedy joined Justice Alito's opinion without writing a separate concurrence. And Justice Kennedy has in the past sometimes been a swing vote in substantive due process cases. Justice Kennedy in Lawrence versus Texas several years ago found that the 14th Amendment protected a right to commit sodomy, which is clearly not a right that's deeply rooted in history and tradition. And it's therefore significant that Justice Kennedy joined Justice Alito's opinion. The test in Alito's opinion seems to be inconsistent with the test used in Kennedy's opinion in Lawrence versus Texas. So this case could suggest that Lawrence versus Texas is an outlier that does not generally describe how the court views substantive due process, and the deeply rooted in history and tradition test more accurately reflects the court's view about how to identify rights that are protected as a matter of substantive due process. There was another issue in McDonald against City of Chicago which was tremendously important, which is that the proponents of Second Amendment rights in the McDonald case urged the court to base the incorporation of the Second Amendment on the Privileges or Immunities Clause of the 14th Amendment rather than on 14th Amendment substantive due process. The court rejected that request. Justice Alito essentially seemed to think that it was too late in the day for the court to revive the Privileges or Immunities Clause, a clause which had been largely interpreted as meaningless in the slaughterhouse cases decided as long ago as 1873. So Justice Alito's opinion incorporated the Second Amendment using substantive due process, which is how all the other amendments in the Bill of Rights have come to be incorporated, and he rejected reliance on the Privileges or Immunities Clause to incorporate the Second Amendment. One justice, however, in the majority, Justice Clarence Thomas, wrote a lengthy concurring opinion arguing that the court ought to reconsider the slaughterhouse cases and ought to recognize that the incorporation of the Bill of Rights is based on the Privileges or Immunities Clause and not on substantive due process. Justice Thomas wrote a lengthy and very scholarly opinion, which I think law professors will find to be perhaps the most persuasive opinion in the case. Justice Thomas makes a number of good arguments as to why the court ought to base its substantive due process case law on the Privileges or Immunities Clause, and why doing that would be more confining than continuing to rely on a clause that is plainly only about process. The majority didn't join Justice Thomas in this view, but the fact that Justice Thomas has now written an opinion that fully and thoroughly defends the position that the Privileges or Immunities Clause should be revived means that debate over whether or not it should be revived will continue to go on. There were two dissenting opinions in McDonald against City of Chicago. The major dissent was by Justice Stephen Breyer and was joined by Justice Ginsburg and Justice Sotomayor. And Justice Breyer's dissent makes primarily pragmatic arguments and policy-based arguments as to why incorporation of the Second Amendment is a bad idea. Justice Breyer thinks that Second Amendment rights are likely to lead to gun-related violence, and that the question of what forms of firearms regulation should be allowed or prohibited is one that requires empirical judgment, and that is better suited, therefore, to being decided by elected state and local officials rather than by life-tenured federal judges. Justice Breyer's dissent essentially makes a policy argument against incorporation. The majority responds that even if Justice Breyer were right as to the policy, which the majority by no means concedes, the majority argues that Justice Breyer is really lacking a legal argument against incorporation and is simply arguing policy. The other dissenting opinion is by Justice Stevens, and Justice Stevens develops a lengthy argument as to why he too thinks that as a policy matter, expanded Second Amendment rights are likely to lead to harm and to be costly. Justice Scalia wrote a concurring opinion responding to Justice Stevens, and the debate between Justice Stevens and Justice Scalia was essentially about how important history should be in identifying what rights are protected by the 14th Amendment. To sum up, the McDonald against City of Chicago case is tremendously important for at least four reasons. First, it's tremendously important as a vindication of the individual right to keep and bear arms under the Second Amendment, and as a statement that that right applies against the states and municipalities as well as against the federal government. Second, McDonald against City of Chicago is important because it will probably lead to a slew of legal challenges to other state and municipal firearms regulations. Third, McDonald against City of Chicago is important for future substantive due process cases because it confines judicially enforceable substantive due process rights to only those rights that are deeply rooted in history and tradition, and five justices clearly endorse the deeply rooted in history and tradition test. And then finally, McDonald against City of Chicago is important because while it rejects for now efforts to reinvigorate the Privileges or Immunities Clause, Justice Thomas's concurrence urging that the clause be reinvigorated leaves open the possibility that that might yet happen in some future case.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.